All right. My name is Jorge Colcone. I've been a maestro developer for the past 6 years. I was one of the first, amongst the first 10 employees to actually join the company. Back then when I joined, there was basically nobody in the company. It was just four developers, one marketing guy, and basically everyone else was just a co-founder. Back then the version, the current version we downloaded was 3.19. So that was a very long time ago. Our product was totally different than what it is today. Today, we've basically taken MySQL to an S level. We've been trying to endorse the enterprise market level, trying to make it fit for enterprises to use, and basically just to please each and every single user. We've tried to make them happy, and we followed a bunch of suggestions. So basically what we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to be the best open source database in the world. I'm going to start with my presentation. I'm going to be talking about the cool features that were introduced in 5.0 and 5.1. There's been a lot of changes in the 5.0 branch. For instance, the information schema. The information schema, I'm not sure if you're aware of what that actually is. It's a totally new concept from MySQL. It has existed for a couple of years in different databases, for instance, Oracle, DB2, SQL Server. All those databases have used information schema for a long time. MySQL just recently incorporated this design into the database. Basically what this is, the information schema is like a virtual database, okay? It's used to access metadata, where metadata is actually information from the data itself. So for instance, an example of metadata would be the columns of the table, the record names, things like that. By the way, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. This is not totally different than what we accomplished in previous versions with the show command. This is just a complement. The show command, which actually does a bunch of things which one can actually do with information schema, will still remain. And as a matter of fact, we have in previous versions, 5.0, the 5.0 branch, we've actually modified the show command to enhance. We've enhanced the show command a lot. So that's basically it regarding the show command. Now, the interesting part about the information schema is, unlike the show command, one can actually specify each and every single field one wants to display. Because as this is a virtual database, which by virtual I mean it does not really exist in hard drive, it is hard-coded, it is in memory, one can actually perform select statements, joins, unbys, unions, and basically anything that you could actually accomplish using the solid statements. This way you can display each and every single field you want. And for certain situations and scenarios, this is even actually better than the show command. For example, let's take GUI clients. GUI clients are great in this case. Previously, if you developed a GUI client, you would be dependent on the show command, for instance, show tables, and then you would actually have to parse each and every field displayed by the result set. And that was a lot of overhead for the client. That accomplished things in the client machine which weren't actually supposed to be accomplished in the client machine. With the information schema database, that is really trivial to accomplish. Well, just as any other database, the information schema resembles each and every single database you create. The only difference is it's completely read-only. Each and every single user which has access to MySQL has access to this database, specifically to the fields and tables where one is allowed to access. And that's basically the information schema. This is going to be a totally new change for us. It's going to make all the porting and migration a lot easier, because all the other databases do it this way. They use information schema, which is going to make MySQL a lot more compatible in terms of migration back and forth to different databases. Do you have any questions regarding information schema? Next, this is one of my favorite subjects, precision math. Previously, precision math was not supported in MySQL. Precision math is just an amazing tool. I don't know if you ever tried, let's say for instance, I have a round example here. Did you ever try using the round command in Windows and then under Linux and noticed how you received different result sets? Because of the rounding precision, did that ever occur? What about when you tried it in 32-bit platforms, and then went back to 64-bit platforms available now? Things were totally different. So, with precision math, one can actually obtain the same values regardless of the platform, regardless of how many bits the underlying processor is working on. So, If you're doing, for instance, geometrical data, and you have floating points all over, precision math all over, with this, you can be absolutely sure when we use mathematical functions, the results you receive are going to be exactly the same platform independently, which this obviously takes a lot of overhead from us, because previously that was impossible to accomplish with this, but it's totally platform independent. Now, another really nice part about precision math is it doesn't introduce floating point errors. And calculations are a lot more precise. By floating point errors, I mean, let's say you divide by zero, for instance. In previous versions, let's say 4.0, if you divided the value by zero, you would receive a null value. Now, with precision math, you can actually say, hey, this is an error. You can treat that as an error. So you say, this is an error. Let's treat this in a certain specified manner. So that would obviously translate into less buggy software, because after all, you're eliminating a bunch of possibilities there. Another really interesting part is control over handling invalid values. You probably saw a bunch of times when you're inserting, let's say you had a decimal 5:2. And you tried to insert a value which was a lot bigger than what the field could actually hold. What happened previously is the value was truncated. It was truncated to actually fit into the column that previously defined. Now, well, that was totally wrong, because you could actually receive data which was totally false, was not correct. And this way, you can deny the insertion, you can insert a new field, you can actually specify what you want to insert. So again, just like with our floating point errors, this takes mathematical handling perhaps to go to a totally new level, which will make applications a lot safer and a lot faster. A lot faster development-wise, a lot faster in terms of debugging. Any questions regarding precision math? Questions? Stored procedures. Stored procedures is basically divided into, we have the procedures and the functions. Procedures are basically, They work just like any other procedure in any procedural language. They will not return values. They just modify and handle data inside. Where functions mostly used for themselves, statements and things like that. Talking about the benefits of these two. Well, first of all, there's a bunch of benefits in using stored procedures. There's a lot of developers that would actually argue this point. Some of them say that all the logical part of the application should reside on the server, and then there's the other group of people that argue that it should be resided in the client. So this is basically something for each and every one of us as application developers to decide. For instance, before MySQL supported stored procedures, each and every person that developed using MySQL implicitly used stored procedures, but the other side would be the client side. Now, today, the procedures will reside in the server, and there's a bunch of benefits. For instance, with stored procedures, one can be certain that they're going to be executed and run perfectly fine in their own environments. Previously, let's assume you had a Java application. Now let's say you were using floating point numbers, precision math. You did not have the absolute certainty that the result of a certain procedure in one platform was going to be exactly the same as in another platform. So procedures, you take that apart into accountability, and you can actually handle it. You can be certain it's going to return the exact same result regardless of the platform. Another thing is the platform dependence, which is basically the same as burning to all environments. This basically means you can actually have a 64-bit machine versus a 32-bit machine, and it will basically accomplish the same task. And the most important part of stored procedures is it will reduce network traffic. Stored procedures, they can take three parameters. In is the one used by default, out and in out. I'm going to show a couple of examples showing how each and every one of these parameters is used. For instance, in this example, I'm using an in parameter. What this is basically just takes an argument to the stored procedure and uses it. As we can see here in the example, we have a really simple stored procedure which sets a value of variable x to the argument that we see, global variable x. So for instance, assuming the stored procedure, if you would call it with a .conf 2006, and then sell data back again, you would receive that .conf 2006, the value would not be modified. Going to the out. The out basically changes the argument. So in this particular example, we set the value of the environment variable x, .conf 2006. Create a stored procedure that receives an out parameter, bar power, and sets its value to p. So whenever we keep in mind we have a value set to .conf 2006, whenever one calls the stored procedure, it sells the environment variable, the result will be maximum in this particular example. And last but not least, in and out arguments. These are basically just a mix between the other two. So in this example, for instance, we call the example stored procedure with 2, multiplies it by 2, and returns 4. Stored procedures are still in really early stages of development. They basically support everything that they're supposed to nowadays. Now, stored functions. Functions is basically the same as they basically accomplish what UDFs used to accomplish previously, stored procedures were supported. Basically, what a function is you can actually use it in the cell of a statement and use a result in the rest of calculations. For instance, in this example, we create the weighted average function, which returns an integer. It is deterministic because the function always knows what kind of value it will return, depending on the arguments. And as you can see in the example, the these arguments, the average was 4.4. We still have a bunch of limitations regarding SOAR procedures. Currently, one cannot use log tables or log tables. Neither can one use load data and load table. These limitations will probably be removed in the linear versus MySQL, probably 5.2. Will basically depend on what the record load is. In functions do have a bunch of limitations currently that will also be removed sometime in the future. Statements that do implicit or explicit rollbacks are limited. Statements that return results that are not supported, as well as prepared statements or variables statements, simple statements, and flush statements are currently unsupported. Triggers are supported by MySQL 5. We support before insert DOM, after insert DOM, before update DOM, before delete DOM, and after delete DOM. Basically, triggers are worded for insert and update statements. One can use complex SQL statements and triggers. And reading and change of values are being inserted is currently supported too. An example of a trigger here is, for instance, here. In this example, we created a table that receives a tiny argument. Then we created the trigger, which basically what it does is for each row in the arguments, it will basically just add one to the value. So for instance, in this case, when we insert the table, we insert one, and then check the value of the variable that we're seeking to actually receive. Triggers are working pretty well nowadays. They are pretty trustworthy in terms of reliability and bugs. They left the beta status in 5.16. Views are also supported by MySQL. One of the nice features, a bunch of customers ask for them, a bunch of users ask for them. And views, what they basically are is they work as virtual tables, which are defined using queries. The interesting thing about views is one can have really complex queries that at the end of the day represent data as if they were a table. And they're not really subsets of tables, because they can be, for instance, active or passive. Now, in active views, the data is, active views can be updated like passive views. Therefore, data can, there's only four criteria which need to be met by the view in order to be active. And those criteria are basically that the data has to be selected from one single only table. The cell statement must not be a distant query. The cell statement may not contain any group by or having clauses, and no union operators can be used for correct. As long as you meet those criteria, the view will be updated. Now this one here is probably my favorite inclusion in 5.0 statements. This is actually a 5.1 feature. It is not an ASCII standard. And basically what it is, it's called an event schedule. Basically what this is you can define the timestamp. For instance, let's go through this example, and I'll explain exactly what it does. For instance, here we created the table. Then when we created an event, we said, hey, why not schedule something occurs each and every second that goes by. So we create an event specifying the 1 second interval, and each and every time the event occurs, we will insert value in the table we created above. Afterwards, we enable the event scheduler, and as you can see from the result off of table T, you can see how an event is generated each and every second. For instance, here you can see 1759.51, 5253, and had this example taken longer, you would see the rest of the numbers. This is really cool because you can actually specify any kind of time interval you want. For instance, seconds, minutes, hours, months, years, and all that. This basically takes care of the new features out of the time. As you can see, basic MySQL is trying to provide enterprise-grade reliability and performance in accordance to the SQL 2003 standard. Do you have any questions? Any questions regarding MySQL on its own? We're working really close with Sean Finney. Sean Finney is the guy that manages and maintains the MySQL in Denver, especially on the bug side, where there's a lot of communication between us and him regarding security bugs and things like that. That is basically what we're dealing with Denver right now, in terms of supporting the Denver guys, Denver.